One of the items of clothing I have the most of in my wardrobe is Unity t-shirts. Is it not true? It's true. I have almost every color you can think of. I have a few that are tie-dyed. I have long sleeve, I have short sleeve, I have sweatshirts, hoodies, you name it. And they either say Uni Renaissance on it, or they say Unity. And these days I wear my Unity shirts with a special sense of pride and purpose. Because not only does that word unity stand for our church and our spiritual movement, but it also stands for what is, in my opinion, the way forward for each of us, for all of us, and for our country. Unity is the direction that we must go, and ultimately it is the only direction that humankind can go in order to assure its survival and advancement, moving in the direction of oneness, compassion, empathy, respect, and inclusion. As we think about these things, they resonate with us on such a deep level. There's something deep within that gets sort of triggered by that or is pulled toward that. It's the evolutionary impulse at the very core of our being. An evolutionary impulse that impels us in the direction of greater oneness. Well, a lot of times when we hear the word evolution, we think of Charles Darwin, do we not? We think of Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution. And I don't know about you, but what comes to mind for me is those charts that we saw in school of the apes progressively standing more upright until they morph into Homo sapiens. Well, that's one kind of evolution, but there's another kind of evolution. It's the evolution of consciousness. It is the expansion of our spiritual understanding and awareness. And this kind of evolution is said to have followed an earlier process that scientists, theologians, and philosophers call involution. Has anyone heard of involution from our huge gathering here? So I'm going to give you just a little mini lesson very quickly on involution and evolution. So the theory of involution says that everything that exists is a manifestation of that which we call spirit or God or the divine. You can kind of visualize this. The idea is that spirit descended into the material world, infusing itself into all levels of material form, living and not living. And through this material descent, spirit essentially went to sleep, coalescing into ever denser forms of matter. As creation wakes up, however, it begins to evolve. Evolution is the rediscovery of spirit, step by step rediscovery of the absolute. Spirit remembers in evolution what it forgot in involution. But because it has gone through the process of involution, it rediscovers itself in a whole new way. In the 18th century, a German philosopher named George Hegel said, listen to this, the human is the vehicle by which God, the infinite spirit, comes to recognize itself. Whew, beautiful. And it is also how we in this form discover our true nature, who we truly are, which is, as we say in Unity, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And then in the 20th century, the great French priest, paleontologist, and philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, he said there's an evolutionary impulse within humankind to grow in consciousness. And that as we do, as we grow, as we rise in consciousness, as we remember who we truly are, that eventually we approach a point of convergence, a point of oneness. We could think of it as pure oneness, as pure beingness, that all rises to that point which could also be called God, and what Teilhard called the omega point. And listen to this. This is so beautiful what he says. Do we have it? There we go. He says, remain true to yourself, but move ever upward toward greater consciousness and greater love. At the summit, you will find yourselves united with all those who from every direction have made the same ascent, for everything that rises must converge. That is a power-packed paragraph. And in those three sentences, he not only gives us a credo for living, he gives us tremendous hope and faith in the fate of humankind. He says, remain true to yourself. Live in integrity. Be honest with yourself and others. Move ever upward. Keep rising. Keep growing and expanding in your love and understanding. And at the summit, as you rise to the highest level of consciousness, you'll find yourself united with all the others, realizing not only that we are all in this together, but we are truly one, that in the purest sense, we are each other. There's a great merging of energies into the divine, for everything that rises must converge. You feel how this movement of spirit, this evolution of the divine, is toward ever greater oneness. And we feel that within us. We feel that sense of an internal nudge, do we not? We long for that greater sense of union and oneness. And because this is the way of spirit, ultimately it will prevail. There's nothing is mightier than that. So the question is whether we heed the call of the divine within us to evolve. And if so, when? You know, Jesus, I believe you can go forward. Jesus really wanted to hasten our evolution of consciousness, did he not? I mean, when you think about it, he was advocating a radical leap in consciousness from the lowest levels of consciousness or thinking based on ego and judgment and oppression to the highest levels of consciousness based on love and acceptance and oneness. This was the underlying message of everything that he taught. He wanted us to know that we're not separate and alone. We're one with each other and with God. He wanted us to know this oneness and to feel it to such a degree that it would then influence our attitudes and behaviors. He said, we're not here to judge and fight and hurt each other. We're here to love one another. And you know, Jesus not only taught that consciousness, he epitomized it, right? So we, in unity, we say Jesus was the perfect example of God fully expressed and realized in human form. And so we call this very high level of awareness and understanding of Jesus, we call it Christ consciousness. And interestingly, it is also called oneness consciousness and unitive consciousness. Jesus wanted us to know that we can choose this kind of consciousness anytime. At any time, we can choose to love each other, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our enemy, to look out and see all of humanity as our brothers and sisters, to look beyond any outer differences to that beautiful divine light within, and know that that is the truth, that this choice was ours. How we choose to show up, what level of consciousness we choose to embrace. And along those lines, it was also very clear from his teachings that we decide whether we're going to create our own heaven or hell experience right here on earth by what we choose to think and believe and how we see. And haven't you experienced this in your own life? I don't think I'm the only one who's created pretty much of a hellacious experience in my life at times by filling my thoughts with fear and doubt or anger, whatever it might be. But also, have you not also created a heavenly experience for yourself by the consciousness that you chose? by instead focusing on gratitude, beautiful blessings in your life, this amazing world. You see, we choose whether to manifest a hellacious experience or a heavenly one, and we do it by deciding how we're going to show up and what consciousness we want to live at. It is such a clear and obvious daily and moment by moment choice. You may have heard this wonderful story. It's a kind of an old fable, I guess, and it's about a Cherokee who was teaching his grandson about life. And he said this to the boy. He said, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. This other wolf within me is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And then he said to the boy, "The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." And the grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." The question for each of us today is, which part of us are we feeding? Are we feeding our egos? Are we feeding a larger vision of peace and oneness? This is the most important question for us right now, for ourselves and for our country. As we approach the most pivotal election in our lifetimes, the consciousness we choose is critical. Never in my lifetime have we seen in such stark and dramatic display what happens when we are ruled by our egos, when we give in to dualistic and separation thinking. What comes from that is fear and division, hatred, pain, violence, and even cruelty. This we, they thinking threatens the very fabric of our society. Relationships with neighbors and friends and family are torn apart. Every indicator, every possible indicator is telling us, this is not the way. This is not the way to think. This is not the way to live. There is no peace in this. And there is no end to this. But we can make a different choice, just like Jesus taught us, just like we know from our own daily lives. We can make a different choice. We can choose healing and reconciliation. We can recognize and feed into the oneness that is the truth of all being. We can hold high a vision for a united country and humanity. We can choose that consciousness, one that brings us together. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said, and I have to pardon his language because it was back then, "Man can hope for no evolutionary future except in association with other men. Only by uniting can we progress." And I would add, united we stand, divided we fall. The great author Victor Hugo once said, "There is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come." The idea of oneness is an idea whose time has come. Mutual respect, equal rights, racial justice, gay and transgender rights, an honoring of the innate worth and dignity of every human being is an idea whose time has come. Protecting the sustainability of our planet is an idea whose time has come. And Jesus's radical call to love each other, radical call to simply love each other. To love our neighbors, to care for the most vulnerable, and even for our enemies, to reach out to the disenfranchised, to embrace and include everyone in the family of humankind with equal opportunity. All of these are ideas whose time has come. And they resonate within us because they are of God. They are divinely inspired. They are divinely led, divinely infused, and divinely impelled. And for that reason, it is inevitable that these will ultimately prevail. So the only question is when? And what is ours to do to hasten it? So let us do our part to spur the rise in consciousness that will heal our souls and unite our country. In the coming days, I ask you, if you've not yet voted, that before you vote, go to the sacred place within you to assure that when you vote, you're voting from your highest level of consciousness. And I would ask that you hold our beloved country in your hearts. Pray for peace. Pray for order. Pray for justice. Pray for unity. I brought along So over the weekend, I purchased yet another book and read the whole thing. It's a lovely little book. It's called The Clear Light. It's in the Eckhart Tolle Library imprint. It's by a man named Steve Taylor. And I want to share just a little prose story from this book, because it's so relevant to what we're talking about now in terms of the consciousness we choose and who we know ourselves to be and how we regard all that is around us. So by way of prelude, I'll just say, in unity, we typically or often make the analogy that we human beings are like waves in the ocean of God, right? We're made of the same substance. We're spirit substance. And we are each like individual waves in that vastness, that vast oneness. And so this beautiful little prose piece is called The Wave. And as you listen to it, please, I invite you to think about yourself, not other people, but yourself. The ocean sighed with pleasure as the wind caressed and stroked her, and soon the wave was born. The wave felt his oneness with the ocean. He felt her as his source, as part of his own being, and knew he could never exist apart from her. But soon, the wave began to watch himself. He saw his own smooth and graceful motion and was mesmerized. He saw the beautiful bubbling foam that sprayed around him and was transfixed. The wave fell in love with himself. He started to believe that he was his own master, that it was his own strength that was propelling him. He believed that he was directing his own flow and could change direction if he wanted. The wave forgot the ocean and saw himself as separate, a self-sufficient, sealess wave. He felt proud of his power, exhilarated by his autonomy, as he rolled faster and rose higher. But then he looked around, and he saw the other waves, The ones who had already peaked and crashed and were beginning to dip and to disperse, and the others who were already dissolving and disappearing. The wave felt afraid, realizing that his form was temporary, that his speed and power would ebb away, and soon he would dissolve and disappear as well. He felt alone as he sensed the empty space around him and saw the distance between him and the other waves. He felt threatened by the ocean's vastness now that he seemed to be separate from it. The wave resisted and rebelled. He tried to build up more momentum, to collect more water, to roll more smoothly, to foam more spectacularly, to make himself so powerful that he would never dissolve away, to make his form so perfect that he could escape decay. But soon he realized he had no choice, that he had less control than he thought, less strength than he thought. He knew he couldn't resist the flow of life and hold back time and tide. The wave stopped grasping and pushing and felt the relief of letting go and the freedom of no longer trying. After his majestic foaming rush and the glorious crescendo of his breaking, he gave himself up to his ebbing, fading flow and to the ease of his descent, and he was filled with the joy of acceptance. The wave allowed his boundaries to soften and felt his connection to every other wave and his oneness with the whole of the ocean. He felt the vast wholeness of the ocean within his own being, then as his own being. And then the wave dipped, slowed down, and began to dissipate quietly and serenely. Without fear or resistance, he gave himself to the tide and became the ocean again, knowing that he had never been anything else. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Lay aside anything that might be on your lap. More importantly, lay aside anything that might be weighing on your heart. Breathe in deeply. Release into the allness of the ocean of God. Breathing in, breathing out. Feeling this beautiful, timeless flow of life, the rising and the falling, and times of joy and times of quiet, all part of the vast ocean of life. I invite you to imagine yourself as one wave in that beautiful ocean and just take this opportunity in your mind's eye to look around. All the distinct, unique, beautiful waves happening around you, some big, some small. Little ripples, big crashing waves. Feel your heart so filled, knowing that you are one with every one of those waves and the great, beautiful ocean that brings them to life. I invite you to breathe into this scene of unity and feel a great peace come over you. Knowing that this way, this movement, this evolution into greater unity is the way. Allow yourself to be uplifted by it and carried forward with it for a few moments in the silence. this deep place of peace within us. We feel the rising of inspiration, hope, and faith. We feel the tingling of Spirit cheering us on and moving in and through us to manifest in the very highest and best way for each of us and for all of us. Thank you for this truth. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, unity. And so it is. Amen.